Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Yes. Hey, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and I am here to help you to determine what kind of issues are you having in your life. Could you possibly have a sexual addiction? Is there enough compulsivity to make it become a real problem? And if you're not an addict, him or herself, are you in some way in love with an addict or somebody that you fear has out-of-control behavior? And, you know, it's kind of like you can't just ask anyone. You need an expert. You need somebody who has actual knowledge, wisdom, and expertise in sexual addiction. I have to tell you, I probably talk with at least 10 or 15 people a month, new referrals, and at least three or four of them do not have what I consider sexual addiction. They have some sort of compulsivity going on, and we get them started immediately on some techniques that will help them to curb that. But we don't classify or categorize every person who walks in the door as having a sexual addiction. So that's the good news, that, you know, there are some people that are concerned about their behavior, and if you're concerned, you definitely have an issue, you need to get to a therapist. However, if you believe that your issues are clearly defined by the definition of sexual addiction, then you need to go to a specialist. You need to go to a certified sexual addictions therapist. And I'm going to tell you how to get there. You know, if you go to sexhelp.com and take the test that's available to you, it will help you to identify whether you have a problem that needs some attention. Now, again, if you're listening to the show or you don't qualify for a sexual addiction, you probably still have an issue. And so I want to get you to the right place. I work out of Indianapolis, but I'm available all over the world. That's the beautiful thing about internet radio, is that I have over 108,000 listeners all over the world. They don't necessarily listen the night of the show, but they do subscribe to the program, and during the week, they open up the show. And so I know that this is a needed service, and there is so much stigma and shame. that I want to be a safe place that you can go to every Monday night at 9 o'clock to talk about the issues that you're faced with. I am not solely a sexual addictions therapist. I work with men and women with all types of problems, depression, anxiety, family issues, teenage problems. I work with people that want to set goals and change their life, and they don't know how to do it. But I do have a niche in this specific field, and I just got back from an ITAP symposium. And for anybody who is familiar with sexual addiction and they have received treatment, they probably have heard of ITAP. Because ITAP is the International Institute for Training Addiction Professionals. And that is an organization that Dr. Patrick Korn started. And everybody who's anybody knows that Dr. Korn is the guru for having helped to write the book on sexual addiction. He himself has written over 25 books on sexual addiction. He assists in a publishing company that publishes recovery materials. And, I mean, this is a man who has dedicated his life to helping people with this addiction. So I got to hear him this week. I got to talk to him. I got to visit Gentle Path, which is his specific residential treatment center within the Meadows. Although separate from the Meadows, it is part of the Meadows organization, and what an amazing facility that is. And the good news is there are a lot of amazing facilities out there, both inpatient and outpatient. And I want you to be educated about what are the services. You know, one of my favorite intensive outpatient programs is actually the Center for Healthy Sex out of Los Angeles, California. They offer customized intensive outpatient programs for males, females, and partners. They have an 11-day program that takes you through the trauma that you have probably incurred caused the need for recovery from compulsive behaviors. And so tonight, I'm real excited that we're going to be talking to Greg Woodhill. He's a man, he's a marriage and family therapist, and he's a certified sexual addictions therapist, and he facilitates sex addiction treatment groups for men, as well as he works with individuals and couples at the Center for Healthy Sex. He, too, has made it his mission to develop the personal programs that can take you from wounding and hurt and trauma to healthy sexuality and good mental health. And so he's going to be coming on the show talking a little bit about his program and, you know, when do you decide to go to an intensive outpatient program versus when do you decide to go inpatient as opposed to when do you do a 3-day intensive? Perhaps you go to another workshop, another type of workshop. I know that Dr. John Caldwell, who's a DO and PhD, is a board-certified psychiatrist who is providing REACH, which is a 3-day intensive workshop that cultivates mindfulness and compassion to deepen that awareness of your connection to your true self and other people. And he's going to be offering that in Chicago. Well, it's actually Wheaton, Illinois, and it's May 2nd through the 4th. And his program costs $300. And, you know, he really believes that if you get mindful and get in touch with that part of yourself that knows how to heal, this workshop is a gift because it allows you to discover the growth and enlightenment that you need to feel changed in your life. If you're interested in that kind of program, it's at www.healingisinreach.com. Again, that workshop is May 2nd through the 4th. And if you can't remember this stuff, you can feel free to send me an email at carolthecoach@aol.com, and I will be happy to assist you in finding the right programming, the right people, the right type of therapist for you. You know, there are so many different components to this kind of work, and you may need eye movement desensitization reprocessing, EMDR, to work through your trauma. I have a whole list of people who do that. And if I don't know who's available in your area, I know how to find out who's available in your area. But, you know, I really can't say enough about these intensive outpatient programs, because oftentimes people feel like they can't afford an inpatient treatment center, or they believe that they want the least intrusive program first to see how they're benefited by that. And there are intensive outpatient programs all over the country that can assist people in getting clear about what has been feeding into their problems. And I said, I really respect the Center for Healthy Sex in Los Angeles, California. They've really made it their mission. They use the task-centered approach, which is the Patrick Carnes approach. And all the clinicians have the psychobiological approach to treatment. They don't just look at it from one point of view. They look at it from a lot of point of views. So I can't wait to interview him and find out a little bit about what types of clients he sees for these programs, and more importantly, what are the benefits? You know, I want you to know what the benefits are so that you can make the best decision possible. So I am hoping that you stay tuned for Greg as he talks about that. Now, I told you that I was at this workshop this last week, and I actually presented on group work. I'm a big believer that in addition to individual, couples, family work, the group work is absolutely instrumental in changing the lives of addicts. And my groups are about 8 to 10 people strong, and they do exercises. And if you heard the show last week, I talked about what are the benefits for groups. You know, why would somebody want to be in a group? Well, you know, in 12-step work, you can't always talk. Well, you can't talk during the group. And sometimes you're just getting there on time and the people you wanted to talk to are leaving or they're talking to other people. And it's very difficult at times to have the confidence to go up to somebody and say, hey, I really liked what you said and I'm feeling the same way. And in a therapy group, there is crosstalk. There are people that talk in all sorts of ways about what they're dealing with and what has worked for them. And when you can have crosstalk and develop relationships with guys, it really makes the difference. You know, one of the most common problems that I'm faced with in dealing with addicts is that they're always wondering how to respond to their wives. You know, they've done so much damage. They've hurt their wives so significantly. And they don't know how much they should actually compromise to allow their wife total expression of what she feels. And I get lots of guys, especially some women too, but lots of guys who say, you know, On a weekly basis, I get beat up by my wife. She's so mad. She's so angry. She's so hateful. She's furious with me. And I know I need to take it because I've caused her so much pain. And although I'm a big believer in really allowing the partner to express him or herself and get that trauma out and get them the support they need, whether they go to COSA, a 12-step support group, or they go to their own therapist, or they do an intensive. I know Valerie Arnett has a wonderful intensive out of Illinois for partners. I really believe in that. But there comes a time when you have that delicate balance and you need to decide, okay, I have to stand up for myself. I can't allow my partner to run all over me. And so those are the kind of questions that addicts oftentimes ask. When do I need to really pay attention to that and stand up for myself and assert myself? And when do I need to just take it because I've traumatized my partner so much, it's the least that I owe him or her? We're going to be doing a show on that in the future, so I hope you'll stay tuned. And if you have specific questions about that or people that treat partners, please give me a call at carolthecoach@aol.com, and I will be more than happy to get you to the right place. Because there is no doubt that when you go to that sexhelp.com website, you can look for a therapist who specializes in this in your own state, in your own city, with your own zip code, and you'll know that they have actually been trained and specialized in it so that you can get concentrated help. And, you know, I know as a therapist, I got my certification because I didn't know what to do with these folks. And there's a lot of therapists in that same boat. That's why I do the show, to help you get where you need to be, as well as to teach you about the treatment programs that are available to you. So again, tonight, we're talking to Greg Woodhill, and he works for the Center for Healthy Sex in Los Angeles, California. Greg, welcome to the Sex Help with Carol the Coach show.
Thanks, Carol. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well and still very jazzed up from the conference, of which you
yes.
went to that same conference.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
was,
we learned
it was
a lot
amazing.
This
I'm
weekend,
jazzed
didn't
up as
we?
Well. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of over just brimming with excitement for all the different things, both research-wise and treatment-wise. We're really flooring me this weekend. I'm so happy I was there.
Yeah, and really, as we've known for a long time, we need to do more and more and more research to give empirical
yeah.
basis for the theories that we so much belief in, and we know that works,
yeah.
but we need to prove it to people.
That's right. You know, it's so funny, Carol, right before we got on the line here, I saw somebody had posted on Facebook an article. I haven't read it yet, of course. I just saw the title, something about, porn addiction, ? You know, there's no data, there's no research. And I thought, I got to bookmark this and read it tonight.
Yes, and I hope you'll respond to that Facebook post.
I'm ready.
Because there's plenty of research to prove it,
although
we really want it to be bigger and better with every day that goes by. We want more people to take the test, go through the different treatment programs, and follow through with all the psychological testing that helps us to identify the common characteristics and the not-so-common characteristics.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And I think the evidence is just getting stronger every day, really, is what I see.
Yes. Now, tell me something. I was singing the praises of intensive outpatient programs, one, because they cost less, and two,
yes.
because they involve less time away from family and work, and three,
mm-hmm.
because I think not only does it jumpstart somebody's recovery, or if they're in a stalemate, it can jumpstart where they've been and where they need to go, but also because a lot of healing occurs in 7, 8, 11 days worth of intensive work. So I wanted to find out about your intensive programs. Can you
yeah.
tell me a little bit about why would someone choose to do an intensive outpatient program more than the regular recovery plans?
Well, yeah, that's a really common question, and what we find is in a lot of different ways is that some people who are suffering from sex addiction, whether they know it or not, they find they need a deeper cut, that they go to, let's say they find a 12-step meeting, or they find a therapist maybe who is or isn't trained in sex addiction, and they're going and doing minimal measures, because I heard you saying just before we started talking too that sometimes what I very lightheartedly call like the doghouse period for the addict. They've traumatized their partner. They've gotten in, caught. And what they try to do is like, what is the minimum amount I need to do to get out of trouble? And now there are others who say, I really want to stop. They go to meetings and they find, let's say, 12-step meetings like SAA or SA or SLAA, and find that that's just not working. So why can't I stop acting out even though I'm going to 2 meetings a week? Even though I'm making program calls, how come I'm still doing it? How come I'm still just as triggered? So what we find is for the people, whether they're in complete earnest recovery or not, sometimes they need a higher level of care. And the containment that an intensive, in our case it's an 11-day intensive, but it's spread out over 12 days, that it gives them such containment that they wouldn't have otherwise. And a huge piece of any inpatient or outpatient program is withdrawal, that they're going to go through withdrawal from either actually acting out or from the life that, their brain is wired around an experience. I go to work, I come home, I'm at the same computer, I do the same things, and that can be very triggering to the acting out behaviors in any sexual way that they're used to. So dedicating 11 days to your recovery where you're going to be doing that day or night, that alone, I think, changes the brain chemistry, but then the work itself is so containing that what I really think it does is it builds a temporary wall around the person so they can just focus on themselves for once and really dig deep. Now, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely that makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously it's, you use the word containment or container, and when you're referencing that word, you're basically saying that people need to be in a safe place to get away from all the triggers and all the stimulus to really begin to focus on themselves. And that isn't always possible if they're in their community and doing 12-step work and seeing a therapist.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes it's an added factor is some people are afraid to go to 12-step meetings in their own community because they're terrified of who they're going to see there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what they
that
think
anonymity
that that's say about them. Right, right. So we, if I understand it, one of, if not the most important principle of all 12-step programs is the anonymity, is that you are safe here. And so, an outpatient program like ours or like and others that exist or inpatient programs, it really gives that client the containment that I can stop worrying about work, my relationship, my lack of a relationship, and all the triggers. I can just focus on myself, and that's where some of the really deep work can be done.
Well, that absolutely makes sense. Now, you get your clients from a variety of places, and
yes.
I'm wondering, where do they stay when they do an intensive outpatient program?
Well, we allow them to stay anywhere they want. But I say that, with a very, very quick afterthought, which is that we strongly, we do everything we can do to get them to agree to stay in a sober living house while they're in our program. And there's a reason for that especially when people come in from out of town, which happens obviously quite often, people come into Los Angeles for 2 weeks to do our program from other parts of the country and parts of the world, actually, that the only other place that really comes to their mind is to stay at a hotel. And I can think of very few places as triggering as a hotel, especially for some people struggling with addiction, that it can first of all be a triggering place just to be in a hotel, but secondly that they are very anonymous in that hotel, and there is internet access that's free that some of them have a problem with, and they can come and go as they please. So when they commit, now obviously it's more expensive, but a sober living place, and we have a few that we work very closely with and that are very containing, like we were talking about earlier, where they have secured internet access, where let's say if someone is struggling with pornography addiction, they can't just get on the laptop and watch pornography. They can't get on and do any of the things that are really triggering to them. And they're in a house with other addicts and with a staff who can help them if they're having trouble. So if you're having a breakdown, and I use that lightly or not lightly, you know, at 8, 9, 10 p.m. while you're in IOP, who are you going to turn to if you're staying in a hotel? So we like them to be surrounded by other people that are obviously in all kinds of addictions that are staying at that sober house, but also by people who are trained in and really how to support people going through withdrawal and the deep excavation that people do when they're in an intensive. And then some people in L.A., they just stay at their house, which is, of course, fine, but if they're living in a family that is even in the moment fraught with stresses, the same thing, we try to encourage them, if they're willing and able to do it, to get in a sober living, even for 2 weeks, just to get out of their normal environment. Now, if that's going to cause a big problem to the family, we wouldn't encourage it, of course. But if it would just be too triggering for them to be coming home to the same partner who's screaming at them every day or whatever, we need to help them form some sort of a boundary so they can just do the work themselves. Because we send them home after about an eight and a half hour day with anywhere between 1 to 3 hours of homework per night. So we need to make sure they're going somewhere where they can focus on their recovery.
And I don't want to give away any of your secrets, but can you give an example of one homework assignment someone might need to work on in intensive outpatient program?
Absolutely. So let me think. I want to give you a good answer here, again, without giving away secrets. I'll give you a few quick answers. One of them, we have the clients work through many of the task work exercises in Facing the Shadow by Dr. Patrick Carnes. So a lot of the lists that they make, a lot of the contemplation they do about their life and their addiction comes straight out of that book. So we may say, okay, tonight go home and do the entire chapter 2, the reading and the writing, and bring it back, and we're going to go through it page by page tomorrow and really discover what came forward for you during that. That's an example. But there are other things where more creative items, and sometimes we have them make lists about certain patterns that show up in their life. Sometimes we have them write letters, whether they're going to be sent or in most cases just letters that are for the excavation, the healing, and the catharsis of just doing the letter in the first place, that then they come back and they read to their primary therapist, to the other people in the IOP. So they're both creative and task work exercises that people get a lot out of, but it's also, yet again, very containing because they don't leave our place, our center, at 5:01 p.m. and then have the whole night in front of them where they don't know what to do. They know what to do.
Well, and I would imagine that they so badly want to do that work because they want to get better and they want to get to the dirt of what has created some of the wounding that has fed into the sexual addiction. And I would imagine that most everybody that comes to your intensive outpatient program, it's not a habit disorder. It's not OCD or OCPD. It's truly some trauma that they've experienced in their lifetime.
Yes, yes. That's what we see. That's what we know to be true, absolutely. So a lot comes up, just like when you pull the cork out of a champagne bottle. All that stuff inside, it's going to come up, and that's what's supposed to happen. And that's one of the reasons why being in an intensive or even an inpatient, of course, can put the client into the kind of withdrawal from their numbing and their medicating go-to devices, let's call them, that they can actually feel the feelings and, like you said, the underlying trauma. They can actually be in it in a very supportive environment. It's really important.
Well, now, one of the things that really, I think, is distinguishable about your program that very few other programs have is the intensity of both the work that you do with the client as well as they're not in there with 30 or 40 other people. The ratio is no more than 4 participants at the intensive outpatient workshop. Is that correct?
That's right. We cap it at 4, and we literally turn away the 5th, 6th, anybody else who calls. We have to reschedule them for a future IOP. We won't have more than 4 people.
Okay, and the reason you do that is?
Is we focus on a very personal approach. So it's an intimate setting. We will do it for as few as one client, and it all depends on scheduling. So we do a men's sex and love addiction IOP. We do a women's sex and sex and love addiction. It's all one. And then we also do a one-week partners IOP. That's a six-day partners intensive for any partner, male or female, who wants to come in and do the same type of deep work and same containment for what they're going through. So we have 10 to 12 clinicians. I'm going to say around 10 or 11 clinicians that work with the clients throughout the IOP. So like you said, the ratio is pretty outstanding. And in order to give them the personalized attention that the way we do our work, we guarantee that each individual client gets 1 hour of individual therapy each day of the IOP, Monday through Friday. So I can describe a little later how the IOP is set up, but right in the toward the middle of the day, they're guaranteed 1 hour with their own individual therapist. They see the same individual primary therapist every day. And when we make it 5, 6, 7, 8 people, each person doesn't get that individualized attention in the group lectures or in the individual therapy. So that is the, they still, 4 people as far as we're concerned, is extremely intimate, yet big enough for them to begin to develop the roots and anchors into leaning on other people and the intimacy that they build with other addicts that they're in the program with. So we love that number. 4, you know, 4 is such a beautiful magic number where they get the intimacy, but also the dependability and to start, like I said, to develop what it feels like to be in a group and to be open and honest and intimate with the group. Where I have heard men say over and over again and women say over and over again in our program, I have shared things in the first couple of days of this program that I swore I would take to my grave. I swore I would never tell another human being. I've heard people say that over and over again in our program, because in that group where it's small enough yet big enough, they find the courage where they're going to begin to trust other people probably for the first time in their life.
Yeah, that is so important. And, you know, I know 4 is the max. You said it's the magic number. What happens if only 3 people sign up for that 11 days?
We will do it for a minimum of 1 person. So
okay.
1, 2, 3, or 4, we will and have many times done it. So if 1 person calls in, they're ready to do it, and the dates work, and they're ready to come in, and there are no other participants for that specific 2 weeks, we do the intensive with that person. So as you can imagine, when it's 1 person, they get a lot of personal attention. They're working one-on-one with clinicians, looking at all different aspects of their lives, and instead of taking, let's say, in a 2-hour lecture where you check in with 4 different people and you get the benefit of hearing from 2, 3, or 4 different people about their lives, when it's only 1 person, I'd say the drawback is they don't get the group mentality, but the superior piece of that is they get unbelievable amount of individualized attention, so that they basically spend all of the lectures and the individual therapy just dealing with them, their lives, their history, their family, and they're working with clinicians one-on-one all day. That is really intense. So there's costs. I mean, there's pros and cons anywhere between the number of 1 client through 4. Again, I like to hold, I don't know if this is true, but it's sort of my own spiritual belief that whatever number it's supposed to be when that person comes to do it, that's what it's going to be. So if you're supposed to go through it with 1 by yourself, with just you and all the clinicians, then that's what's going to happen. If it's supposed to be 3 or 4, then that's what it's going to be. And again, they just absorb the benefit from however it ends up being. But like I said, there's I could argue it either way, which is better, but it always turns out to be the right group of people or the right person for what they need at that particular time.
Well, that's so interesting you said that, because I was sitting here thinking, I'm sure the people that are in a group say, I was so lucky. This really increased what I learned and how I felt by having other people in my group. And then the people that have only had themselves or 1 other person say, I was so lucky that I got all this individual attention. I got bigger bang for my buck.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, whether this is too mystical or too idealistic or not, I don't know, but I like to believe that it's like the right group of people for the right person, however it's supposed to show up. I like to think that that's how it shows up. And the clients, and I mean this in a really good way, really the clients nor CAK has control over that. It's just supply and demand. I should just say demand. So if there are, you know, we've had it before where let's say there's two people signed up for the intensive, and literally in the 1 or 2 days before, and those people are already flying out here, two other people sign up, and then suddenly by Monday there's four people starting. Other times we have four or three reserved way ahead of time, and sometimes, like I said, it's just one person. We have the time, we have the structure, and they come on, and we just do 11 days with that one person. So they win either way, I like to think.
Well, absolutely. Now, you know, I know that your description of this program is that the clients learn kind of a psychobiological viewpoint, and that the approach
yeah.
is logical and biological, so they call it psychobiological. What
yeah.
does that mean in terms of this intensive outpatient programming?
Good question. We psychobiological, what we understand, we conceptualize sex addiction as an impairment in attachment, an impairment in intimacy development, impairment in regulation. So we structure our program in a way that provides a lot of information. I've heard Dr. Carnes, I've heard other people say, you know, this week may be like trying to drink water from a fire hydrant or a fire hose, that so much information is coming. You're going to take in what you can remember. You're going to need to refer back to your notes and your books for the rest. However, tons of information. You can only imagine that amount of time, intensive work per day, that we're giving them a lot of psychological left brain information, especially about recovery and addiction. However, we're missing the boat entirely if we don't also focus on a right brain to right brain interaction with the client. So in other words, we don't lecture for 2 to 2.5 hours on intimacy and then have them repeat back what we told them about intimacy. Our program creates intimacy, you know, it creates the understanding of attachment, safety, regulation. We work with the client in a psychobiological approach where we check in with them. What are you feeling in your body? Where are you feeling it? How do you name that emotion? You know, is this something you remember from your childhood? So we have the client really utilize their body and their emotions and their left brain and really connect with what's happening. So it's going to be different every single time. And that's where that ratio of clinicians to clients really comes in so beautifully, is that if a client needs an extra gentle supportive touch, or if someone needs an extra heavy, you know, hammer, and they're coming in basically saying, I need to be really held accountable, or we see that, we can really treat the person. We don't see you are addict number one, addict number two. It's like we can really deal with these people, and we connect with them. I've heard, again, many times, and I love hearing these things because I'm one of the last people to deal with them during the intensive. I've heard people say, I didn't doubt through any of this process that you, the clinicians, cared about me and my treatment, that I mattered to you. I don't think that there's any higher compliment as a therapist that I could really hear. Maybe there's, you know, if they said they didn't learn anything about addiction, that would be a problem, but happily they're learning both. So they say, I felt important to you. I felt important to the other clients in the IOP, and I knew that you, clinicians, really cared about me. So is not just, like I said, attachment, regulation, intimacy. We're teaching it, but we're teaching it through experience. That can you, the client, be in your body, feel your feelings, tell me when I'm making you angry, the therapist, tell me when you feel abandoned because this is coming to an end, or anything that you're going through. So we engage their left brain plenty, but we work with their right brain and the body, because that, in my opinion, in our opinion, is really some of the root of how sex addiction begins, is the need, not the desire, but the need in their earlier life to push away from anything that feels intimate or close or scary. And I have all due respect for that, because it's what they learned. So we really do, you know, I don't want to say this is a little cheesy to say heart-to-heart sort of approach, but that certainly has a piece of it, that we work with, we try to work with all parts of the addict, and as you can imagine, with as many people there, different types of people there are with the world, that we custom build the program as it goes to the people in the program, and I think we're extremely successful at doing that.
Well, that makes total sense, and so that is what psychobiological means, and it really is not just a program whereby you learn psychoeducational stuff. You
right.
actually learn based on how you're feeling and what's going on with you while you're with the other participants and the other therapists.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the core keys to the healing.
Well, yeah. And I'm wondering, do you all do follow-up or consult with the client's therapist if they're lucky enough to have an individual or a family, a couple's therapist?
Yes, and we consider that mandatory, and it makes our program better to do so, and that's what we really believe in. So we get sent clients from a lot of different, some clients find us, other times they're referred, and as you can imagine, Carol, some of the clients come from therapists who are certified sex addiction therapists, but they don't offer an intensive. So they say, hey, I know this place, go spend 2 weeks there. Can't wait to see how it goes and let's be in touch. And others, they say, oh, you can't stop having sex with prostitutes. You can't stop watching pornography. You can't stop these things. I don't know what to do with you, even though you've been my client for 2 years. I don't know this field. Let's find you a place that does. So we're in touch with, obviously, regardless of where the person comes from or what the referring therapist background is, we want to be in touch. So first of all, before, we want information on the client and the relationship that that therapist has with the client. Then during the intensive, we touch base with them, I would say, at least 2 times, if not more. Sometimes things come up where we need to consult more often. And then, extremely importantly, when the program comes to a conclusion, we not only do we speak to the referring therapist or the therapist they're going back home to, but we actually send them a written report that the client writes out with our, I don't want to say supervision, but with our help and supervision, that we review with them with a fine-tooth comb. And then that client brings back that paper. It's a 3-page document that the client has signed and committed to and hands it to their therapist. So not only have we spoken to the therapist, but then the client brings it back and says, these are the things that I'm looking for support on. These are the ongoing work that I've written down that I want to continue working on. And that way we've really given them this enormous springboard, taking them back into their therapy, because we certainly want the person to be where they feel safe, where they've already gotten help, and when there's been, like we mentioned a moment ago, attachment built already. So we work with them, and it's one of the things I think that makes that helps us to be really successful, is that we can get information by the time the client shows up on day one. Not only have they given us information, but we've been able to consult with the therapist, and of course that's with signed releases and whatnot. But we can get a lot of information and support so that they don't just come in blindly and then leave blindly and we say good luck and pat them on the back. We're sending them back into hopefully very caring hands. And in some cases, if they don't have a therapist back home, we help them find one before they leave us and help them to set up an appointment, because we don't want them just dangling in the wind. They need to be supported. They deserve the support.
Well, absolutely. And I'm sure that there are some people that find you from the Internet. Can you give us your Internet address for the Healthy
Yes.
Center for Healthy Sex?
Absolutely. It's easy to remember. Centerforhealthysex.com. Centerforhealthysex.com. And it's all, obviously, one word, all lowercase. And it even has information on our website, of course, about our program. So people can even look at the grid and they can see the type of lectures, the type of things they'll be doing. And, of course, the phone number, which I'd love to give out before we finish here today. To call, our intake department is fabulous. And I'm laughing because I can just think of how many times on the final day where clients reflect, and they'll tell us, you know, I called 2, 3, 4 different places around the country. And it was my conversation with this person or that person in your intake department. They work very closely with one another in the intake office. That got me here because I, again, felt heard and cared for, and I didn't feel rushed. I didn't feel like a number. Like I felt like a human being. So anyone looking for extra information or to even ask, do I need your program? Here's what I'm going through. Am I a candidate for your program? They can call and talk to someone who's not only wise in this field, but also, forgive me for using this word, but a very loving group of people who are ready, willing, and able at all times to get on the phone and talk to somebody.
Well, absolutely. And I would like for you to give the number right now. Before, we were saying that if you want to look at the website, it is exactly as it sounds. It is www.centerforhealthysex.com. And the phone number, if I'm not mistaken, is 310-843-9902.
You got it.
Okay. So, and
that's
feel free, for any listener that doesn't have a pen available, maybe you're listening in the car, whatever, you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com, and I will also get you that information.
Great.
So now, I have a question. I want to know how your program is structured each day.
Okay.
What can a client expect?
Okay. This is how it works, Carol. They start the day with either a 2 or 2.5, it's almost always 2.5 hour lecture in the very beginning. The only time it would be 2 is if we only had one client. But let's just say, for example, that obviously, and just so you know, the majority of the time we have between 2 and 4 clients. Let's just say that we do, and it starts the day with a 2.5 hour lecture. And lecture is a bit of a misnomer, but it's accurate. We teach, but it's like we talked about. It's psychoeducational, it's psychobiological, so you don't sit quietly and listen to a therapist lecture for 2.5 hours about genograms and family of origin and codependence and eroticized rage while you take notes. There are lecture portions, there is information presented, but we very, very quickly and thoroughly throughout the whole thing, we weave into it the client's experience with all of those topics. So happily, it isn't 2.5 hours of one person talking and everyone else listening. It's a group. And so if the family of origin is what the lecture is in the morning, we're talking about the importance of family of origin and what can be learned in the family of origin. But then, after a very short amount of time, we're talking about the client's family of origin. And do they recognize things in the other clients from their own family, and how important those messages were. So it starts off with a lecture, and I just wanted to make sure that I'm clear about what lecture means. It's a very interactive lecture, to say the very least. So that goes until noon. They leave for each day, Monday through Friday. They go to an SAA 12-step meeting. Starts at the same time, and it's in the same place. That's one of the things we're blessed in Los Angeles, is the 12-step recovery community is enormous, happily, and the SAA, SLAA, SCA, all the S programs have huge numbers. And so there are meetings every part of town, all different times and days, especially in the center of Los Angeles. There's just tons, thank God. So back to the point, we send them to a 12:15 SAA meeting every day. It's an hour long. They have a little under an hour for lunch after that. Then they go straight into that 1 hour, or it's about, 50 to 55 minutes for their individual therapy session with their primary therapist, the same person they see every day. Then after that, they take a short, tiny break, like the water bathroom break, and then they go into a 2-hour lecture that ends the day. So to quickly recap, it's about a 2.5-hour lecture. They go to a 12-step meeting, a short break for lunch, 1 hour individual therapy, and then followed by a 2-hour lecture. It is a long day that sometimes goes by very, very fast. So it's chock full, and they're going, and then they leave our center at 5 o'clock, and as I mentioned, they go and take care of themselves. We advocate self-care. We have them check in with their primary therapist and just leave a voicemail every night, make sure they're feeling okay, that they have everything they need, that they haven't gone through any triggers, and then they're back the next morning. And then one thing I really want to mention is on Saturday, they go to a 10:30 a.m. SAA meeting. for an hour and a half, the same place that they've been going all week. Then they come into CHS for a three-hour experiential session with a therapist. So there's work on mindfulness. There's work on of expression, so voices or different parts of themselves or people in their life. They've never really given voice to their feelings and their thoughts that they've kept inside. And that's one of the things in this long session that they sometimes for the first time are able to open up and do like an imaginary monologue and speak those voices and get some of the rage or hurt or sadness or shame out in the safety with the other people that they've learned to trust and then with the skilled clinician that we have who's also a very loving person. And they feel very contained in a very experiential way. So that's Saturday. And then on Sunday they have the day off, but they have plenty of homework. I'd say there's probably between, on the weekend, there's maybe between 3 and 6 hours of homework, give or take, so that they have plenty to do and support them so that when they come in Monday, you know, they've had things to do. And we make sure that they're supported in that weekend. No triggers and how they're going to support themselves and what we plan out their weekend with them so they don't feel, again, like you're just dangling in the wind. So I'm out of breath just talking about it, but you can imagine it's an extremely intense schedule where there's time for self-care, but it's also go, 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 go.
Well, yeah, and what I really love about it is that you give them an opportunity to do 12-step meetings in addition to, because some people are afraid to do that, and in a safe environment where they yeah. may not know anybody because they're coming from out of town, and they're going
right.
to have the support to go and come back and process, has got to be very healing for people that have kind of ignored that part of recovery. Because, you
exactly.
know, 12-step meetings aren't for everybody, but if you're like me, Greg, I really feel like it can enhance recovery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And in some cases, I can't say that this is 100%, but I'm going to use a strong word here that I, uh-huh. as far as support is concerned, I think they're mandatory. And I don't just mean 12-step. If there's other people, but we need, human beings need other people. We need people to lean on and support. So I think they get, like you just said, especially if they're worried about program back home because they might see somebody, they come to 12-step meetings and they're not two or three people. I mean, these meetings that they go to are sometimes in between 15 and 60, 70 people. So they see like, oh, I get it. There are people and there is a huge community and I can make this a part of my life. It's a really big part. And they come a long way. In you know, 12 total days, they come saying, I never thought I would go to a meeting and now I realize I'm going to need them and I'm going to find them back home.
Uh-huh. And, of course, there are telemeetings for people that don't have them in their area. You can
yes.
always make a phone call if you get online with Sex Addicts Anonymous or Sexaholics Anonymous. You can find telemeetings. So I can't emphasize how important these meetings are in general. If you're really worried about your anonymity, it's a safe way to go. Or if there are a lot of places that they don't have those meetings or COSA meetings for partners, partners that definitely are underserved in the United States. I can't
Agreed.
Speak to globally, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so now let me ask you something. Do you have a survey that lets you know whether people feel like they have gotten their needs met, that they've done their work?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple things. We actually do have them do an evaluation on the last day before they leave, and we ask them a lot of questions. Where were you underserved? Where did you feel too much? What was not, you know, what was the best thing about it? What was the worst thing about it? And then we follow up with them. So we have someone from our office, not a clinician, so it's not someone they worked with saying, did I do a good job? But somebody from our office they've never met, just calling and, you know, several months afterwards, how are you? How is your recovery? How do you feel that the IOP served you? And we really, and I see our IOP morph from month to month, from year to year. I've been working in this intensive for about 2.5 to 3 years now personally, and I've seen it change because we take the feedback that the clients give us very seriously. So We do, and we find that, you know, we can, again, really tailor it, custom tailor the IOP to the needs of the clients we're serving. But as a whole, we see where we may have had a little too much of this, a little not enough of that, and we make those adjustments. And one thing we offer where we get to stay in touch, and this isn't, it is not group therapy, and it isn't, it's moderated, but only just someone who gets everybody on the call and gets them started, is we offer a, for no extra charge, if you've completed our IOP, an ongoing conference call at the same time every week. One of the clinicians, one of our therapists, one for women and one for men, and for the men, it's a male therapist. For the females, it's a female therapist. That they just get on and they can just check in with people they went through it with and with people they've never met before. And they can, if they choose to, they can give their phone numbers out for, you know, program calls. But we, so in other words, we see a lot of clients. We hear from a lot of clients after the IOP, and it just tends to be about the best springboard they could ask for to launching them back into their life. So anyway, so that is that an ongoing conference call is something that we offer now that people can just really stay connected to others who have gone through the intensive.
And they literally can do that every week for the rest of their life if they want that support?
Yep. Every week. That's we give them the name, the number, the time, and they just call in. And again, it's moderated. Just to, you know, pick it up. How's everybody doing? Who wants to talk first? But it's not therapy. It's not group therapy. It's just for, it's literally for the addicts to connect with other addicts and just check in and support each other in the recovery. It's just a huge benefit that people love.
I don't know of any intensive outpatient program that does that. Do you?
Right. I don't ask around, to be honest, so I don't know, but I know that it's something that people find as just a value-added bonus where we say, by the way, here's something we offer, and they're shocked and very grateful because especially that first week and that second week, but then even ongoing down the road, they love knowing that they can connect with, you know, with other people who have been through, literally walked the same halls as they have done and connect. So I don't know if anyone offers it, but I'm happy to say we do, and I love it.
Well, that's great. And last but not least, I want to know, does the Center for Healthy Sex take insurance for their IOP?
Here's what we do. So the answer is yes and no, and the real answer is yes. So what we do is the client pays us in full. They pay for the entire intensive, and then we give them an envelope on the last day of treatment that's full of all of the receipts for all the clinicians they've worked with, for the lectures, because it really is, you know, group therapy. We have them coded appropriately, whether it was individual or group, and then they submit those forms to their insurance company for reimbursement. So we strongly, strongly advocate for the client to talk to their insurance ahead of time. What is my reimbursement? Are they in or out of network? And then they pay in full, and then they send in all their receipts. You know, we don't want them to get any surprises for them to say, well, we're only going to reimburse this. We want them to know ahead of time, if that's important to them, what reimbursement are they to expect, and then we leave it in their hands to really take care of afterwards. And we tend to say, you know, to report afterwards, they get, I don't know percentages, but I've heard, you know, somewhat low to very, very high of the, just depending on the insurance carrier. So we just don't do the insurance. We don't run it through insurance. We just allow the client to take care of it. But again, they do pay in full.
Got it. Well, yeah. I am speaking with Greg Woodhill, and he is a marriage and family therapist as well as a CSAT. He's talking about the Center for Healthy Sex and their intensive outpatient program. If you want to check out this program, go to www.centerforhealthysex.com. And that phone number, if you've got a pen ready, is area code 310-843-9902. Greg, I so appreciate you giving us some information. I want our listeners to know what's available out there. And, you know, I just think that the center has such a great reputation. I know I specifically sought you out and asked if you all would talk about the center and the intensive outpatient program. So thank you so much for sharing tonight.
You're so welcome. And thank you for having me, Carol. And one last 10-second thing that just comes to my mind, if I could, is that Alexandra Kotahakis is the clinical director at the center, and she does participate face-to-face with the clients. However, she supervises every single case. Every case that goes through the intensive, she works hand in hand with each clinician with each case. So I just want to throw that out there that we work very closely as a clinical team. We're comparing notes every day, every session to make sure we're all on the same page. But Alex does supervise the entire IOP, and she is thoroughly involved, and we are we just have great support with each other and with Alex. So I thought if I didn't mention that, I would kick myself later.
Well, thank you, Greg, and we have to go, but continued success with an incredible program. Have a great day.
You too, Carol. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh. So I will see you next week for more Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And as I say at the end of every show, fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. Talk to you soon.